Let's get right into this. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Okay, if you're at Colossians, it's past that. If you're at Timothy, it's before that. That'll give you a little bit of a hint. As you're turning to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, man, let's talk about it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. This is the day which the Lord has made. He will rejoice and be glad in it. If we leave it up to ourselves and we don't have that Adam coaching us every now and then, here's what that may sound like. This is the day which the Lord has made. I will complain. I will grumble. I will worry. I will have fear throughout the day. He doesn't want us to have that. He says, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. All right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16, the very end of the chapter. Verse 16, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. All right, that settles that. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. No more problems. We can go home, church. He said it right there. Oh, wait. He didn't say no more problems, did he? It says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Now, this is from Paul talking to the church in Thessalonica. Now, they had some problems since he went and established the church, and he left. And they were kind of doing things their own way. They had some leaders come in that weren't quite following his teachings, and they were doing their own things. They had some false teachers in there. And so they had to send a letter. Oh, man, Paul, what do we do? And Paul sends a response back. He says, no, that's not what I taught. That's not what this is about. And in the very end, he says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. That's Paul's desire for them. Well, I love that. If you flip back actually to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through 17, he's telling them, don't grow weary in the midst of this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And it says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was one long sentence. But he goes on and says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or our epistle or our letter to you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Well, I love that. He wants us to stand fast no matter what we're going through. May the God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, may that God comfort your hearts. Today, church, whatever you're dealing with, may God comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He also tells them, actually, a little bit past that, in verse, we're not going to read it, but in verse 6, he goes on. Yeah, that's verse 6, these glasses. Verse 6, he talks about idleness, warning against idleness. We have to be about our Father's business, do we not? We have to be doing his business. Now, when he talks about peace, let me tell you this. Peace is not the absence of trouble in your life. Peace is not the absence of problems in your life. But it is evidence of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. No matter what you're going through, problems and troubles, peace is evidence of the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. This boat's rocking in the storm. It's okay, I got Jesus. He's in control. We keep wanting to grab that steering wheel from Jesus. Say, I got a better route. Hey, I know a shortcut, Jesus. Or, worse yet, we may say, I don't know a shortcut. I'm going the long way. He says, I got a shortcut. You just got to follow me. And other times we think we're taking a shortcut. And he says, that shortcut leads to disaster. I remember telling you guys when my wife and I got back from Niagara Falls. I said, yeah, big waterfall, water. Okay, no, don't want to go in the boat. And I was in the parking lot seeing that thing from afar. And I ran. I left my wife behind and I ran like a little kid as far forward as I could to that railing. And I stood there. And I was in awe. Then I looked back and saw my wife way back there following the correct path while I took the shortcut right through the grass, leaving a dirt path instead of nice grass there. And I remember looking at Sydney and said, that'll preach a message someday. Talking about taking shortcuts and we want to go through the grass. He says, yeah, you can take a shortcut, but we've made it so you go around this way. And it could be for traffic or congestion. It could just be for beauty. But we think we know the way. And God says, man, I got this. I got this. We think we know the way and we keep wanting to grab that steering wheel from them. But peace is not the absence of problems or trouble in your life. It is the evidence of Jesus Christ in your life, no matter what you're going through. Now we think, God, bring me peace. Bring me peace, God, please. And yet we've done no work to bring peace to our life. I've upset these people. I've disturbed these people. I'm not kind there. I'm mean there. God, would you please bring peace into my life? I'm a horrible spouse. I'm a horrible child. I'm a horrible parent. God, would you please bring peace into my life? Oh, and by the way, God, could you fix everybody else so I don't have to change? We want prayer to fill in for our lack of effort, our lack of work, our lack of commitment to changing things and making things right. God, if you fix this, then I'll change. Because that'll show me evidence that you are real, God. God, fix this. I'll come around. But the second thing is, God, would you bring me peace? We are praying for things that we already have. I believe. Let's see, John 14:27. I've read this verse a bunch of times in this church. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. He's already given us His peace. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Church, we don't have to be troubled or afraid when we face things. We have God on our side. He has promised us peace. He has given us peace. I thought peace was just something we talked about it. The Advent season. Peace, hope, joy, and love. But the rest of the year, forget it. I don't have it. I can only find it at Christmas time at an Advent service. No, that is our characteristic to carry throughout the year as Christians, as Christ followers, as ambassadors of Christ, as His representative. I want to have the aroma of Christ. Why do people keep running away from me? Because you come with a stench of sin wrapped around you. I know we don't want to hear that. But it's true. He says, I have a different smell about me. I have an aroma. But over here, that life has stench. He promised us His peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not only did He leave it, but He gave it to us as a gift. There's no fear in peace. There's no fear. There's trusting in Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to live a righteous life. Oh, no. Oh, no. There's that phrase, righteousness. Righteous. I don't even know what that means other than the righteous brothers. You know, what is righteous? Well, let's read it. Matthew chapter 5. Hang on, church. We're going to read 16 verses. Can you bear with me while we read it? The Beatitudes. And I want you to listen. This is Jesus speaking. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on a mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. And then He opened His mouth and He taught them. You see, He wasn't just speaking, He was teaching. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then in verse 13, I wanted to read this as a follow-up as well. It says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, prayer of faith, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Prayer of faith. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessed are the poor and those who mourn and the meek. But I want to focus today on verse 6. And it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And then verse 16, 10 verses later, it says, let your light shine before men. Well, one thing says, blessed are you if you do this. And the other one says, do this. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. For if you do, you shall be filled. And then he just directly tells us, let your light shine. He doesn't say, if your light shines, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, Adam, I don't hunger for righteousness. I don't understand that. I don't thirst for righteousness, Adam. I don't understand what that means. It means we line up with God's Word. And we come alongside and we believe in that and we follow that and we adhere to that. out of my diet does not include hungering and thirsting for righteousness. My diet today looks a lot different than it did about 4 months ago. And I didn't like it. And I didn't like the change. But it caused problems in my health. If we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, it will cause problems in your health. Physically and spiritually. We can develop a spiritual diet that allows us in a healthy way to hunger and thirst for the right stuff. Church, maybe you say, Adam, I'm just not hungry. Well, I'm taking some medicine that doesn't make me hungry either. It makes me tired and it makes me all kinds of things. My wife made a beautiful meal right after this change. I took a bite, put it down. She said, was it not good? I said, it's delicious. I'm not hungry. And I'm tired. And I'm too tired to eat. And it just doesn't feel right. But in time, as I changed, it became better. And I feel better. It's the same thing when we go through this. I'm not comfortable being in church where I haven't been in a long time. I'm not comfortable acknowledging these things in my life that I haven't had to acknowledge in front of people before. And you don't have to acknowledge anything. I'm just saying that you might talk about them. But you say, I'm not comfortable in that. And I've said it before, a lot of times we go back to that which we're comfortable with. That's why we go back to the pig pen. That's why we go back to the slop. That's why we go back to our old ways. Adam, I'm just not hungry for that. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes, no, maybe. No, okay, I understand. That's where it starts. Because when you accept Him, that will start a little fire in your heart. Hopefully it'll start a big fire in your heart. You say, I want that. I want that life. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I want that life. You see, I'm tired of scraping along here. There's a passion. But then also, hopefully, there's a hunger. I want to know more about this Jesus. Can you tell me more about Him? You see, I encountered this person at work and they had a fire about them. And they had a passion. And I want that. I want to live for that guy. That Jesus is the one I want to live for. Maybe you're not hungry and thirsty enough. Adam, I'm full. I have filled myself with all kinds of activities today that were all about me. I have done the will of me today. And I have made everything about me and my desires and my wants and my needs. Why did you talk to Jesus about it? I thanked Him for everything I had and did and got today. After the fact or before the fact? Was that an afterthought? You see, He wants us to talk to Him and say, God, what is Your desire for me? What is Your will for me? And I know it scares the heck out of us because we're afraid of what He's going to say. I need you to commit to this on these nights and these days. Oh, and I need you to give up this, not because it's a sin or bad, but it's taking up your time from doing this and this, which are things I want you to focus on. God, You're asking me to give up things that I love. He says, do you love me? Because You're giving me up right now when You choose those other things. Okay, God, maybe You're right. Maybe You're right. Maybe I desire those things more than I desire You and Your will for me. So now we've got to start transitioning. And you look at food. I told you guys about the Funyuns, the bag of Funyuns I chose when I went looking for a little healthy snack. Oh, it's too tiring and exhausting looking for something healthy. It's here, right at the checkout. But we can change that. I've since chosen much better snacks. But that day was a struggle. Adam, that's hardly like the struggle we're going through. Yeah, you're right. But I'm telling you that it's the same thing. It's a struggle that we have. And it sounds simple enough, yet it was hard enough. Your struggles seem simple to the outside world, but they're hard for you. Other people look funny and go, oh, I hate those things. Tastes like onions. And they're not that much fun. So Funyuns doesn't sound good to me. But he says, man, I want you to hunger for me. Don't hunger for Funyuns. Don't hunger for that junk food. Yeah, it'll fill you up. What do we tell our kids before dinner? When they come say, I want a snack, can I have some candy, some gum, some this, some that? Can I have that bag of cotton candy? No, you'll spoil your dinner. You see, I prepared a healthy meal for you. And I know that stuff's good and you like it, but no, that'll ruin this meal. And that's what God's telling us. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We can be filled today with our own desires, wants, and needs. But guess what? We will still have a void that's being full in a different way. I'm full, God, but I'm not full of you. I'm full of myself. And he says, I don't want that for you. When we do things for ourselves, Eric talked about it 3 weeks ago. Pastor Eric said, survival is not the same as transformation. God, I'm full. Remember when I brought the pizzas? I happened to bring it on the first time that our new superintendent was at church. And I had all these pizza boxes out there on the table. And I said, we had a little personal pan pizza. And it's kind of the same thing. God, I've got this. Okay, but it won't sustain you in the long run. It's a quick pick-me-up. And by the way, with that blessing that I've given you, there's not much in there for you to share with all these people in a personal pan pizza. You see, it's personal. So if it came to me first, I'd take it and say, I thought it was all mine. And that's what we do. God, this is all mine. It's not meant for me to share with other people, I thought. But he's come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Remember the shakaroni pizza? The big giant one. There was plenty for us and plenty for us to share. And he says, that's what I want for your life. I want you to hunger and thirst for righteousness and to line up with me, so that you may be full. I am the bread of life. He says, all that come to me will no longer hunger or thirst, other than to have that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Survival is not the same as transformation. Desiring and developing a hunger and a thirst for righteousness is the beginning of transformation. Amen? Amen? Oh, okay, I'll run through that again. Desiring and developing a hunger and thirst for righteousness is the beginning of transformation. Amen? It is the beginning of that. When we have a desire to hunger for it, when we start developing a hunger for that, let me do this. I want to focus on hungering and thirsting for Christ. Let me focus on food then. That makes me hungry. Now, let me put some junk food up there. Okay, and some healthy food. Which do I hunger for? Now, half of us, or more than that, are probably going to say, I want the unhealthy stuff. It tastes good. But he says, I want you to have the healthy stuff. And when we make those choices, that is us starting to develop a hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we understand there's choices here, I've made the right one. That's the beginning of transformation, which is different than survival. We must hunger and thirst in the good times and the bad times. Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, or I know how to be satisfied, and I know how to abound. everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then he goes through and he says, I can do all things by myself. No, it doesn't say that. I can do all things through my friends. It doesn't say that either. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In my weakness, I can do it through Him and He strengthens me. Don't be so full of yourself that you never hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'll close with this as the band comes up. From 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. And it simply says this. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. He desires for us to live in peace and to be at peace with others and to have peace in the midst of whatever we're going through. Now today you may just be surviving. He says, I want you to begin transformation. Adam, I'm full. I'm not hungry. And I'm not thirsty. I want you to look at yourself and say, are you full of yourself or full of Him? And by the way, if you're full of Him, tomorrow you will be hungry and thirsty for righteousness again. Bow your heads if you would. And I want to pray over you in just a minute here. But I want you to hear me carefully, church. He's calling us to be different. He is calling Christians to be different, but He is calling prayer of faith to stand up and be different. And He is calling us to transformation and change. And He is calling us to renewal. And He is calling us out of our old ways, or our standard ways. He's calling us out of His comfort zone. In just a moment, we're going to sing Hungry. And if today this message is speaking to you, would you come up front and allow Pastor Eric or myself to pray for you? Adam, I'm not comfortable walking in front of everybody. You still have fear. Okay, I get it. Would you do me a favor and raise your hand and we'll come to you. But don't leave this place today without allowing someone to pray for you. You don't have to tell us everything. You don't have to tell us anything. You can just raise your hand or come up here and allow us to pray for you in a way that we feel led to pray. But He's calling us out of our comfort zone. He's calling us out of our complacency. And He's calling us into His marvelous light, into a transformed world, renewed with Him, with a hunger and a thirst and a fire for Him today. Heavenly Father, I ask You to be with this church body today, those listening online to us as well. God, that they would allow us and give us opportunity to pray over them as Your vessels, as Your ambassador, as Your representative, that they would allow Pastor Eric or myself to pray over them, that they would acknowledge change needed in their life, God, that they would find freedom in that. That they would find peace in that. God, that we would glory in your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen.